Alrighty.
All right. My name is David Turner, and this is a conference call sponsored by the NACSW, or North American Association of Christians and Social Work, Family and Children's Interest Group. We have Kathy Spooner presenting today, as hopefully all of you know, since you know that there's a conference call, on play therapy and kind of an overview of that and some principles and things that she has experience with in her practice. And I'll let you say a little bit more about that here in just a sec, Kathy. And the presentation will be about 20 minutes today or so, and then we're going to open it up for some discussion and questions and things like that after that period of time, and wrapping up around about 5 minutes till, if folks can or are willing to kind of hang out and create some dialogue. I think that's one of the most important things, because I'm sure that some of you other folks have experience doing play therapy, but you're not the presenter, so you'd like to share some of what you have to say, and that's great. So I'm looking forward to that, too. So just to pass on the torch, Kathy, I give you the floor and let you get started.
All righty. Just for my own knowledge, have other than Linda, the intern at my agency, has anyone else had experience with play therapy?
Yes, I have. I did that for about 2 years at a residential placement setting for kids. I was an on-campus therapist there.
Oh, okay. And what's your name?
Kim.
Kim, okay. Well, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself and why I do the play therapy presentation. Then my goal is to work through, give you some understanding of play therapy and what it is, and then bring in a little bit of the spiritual aspect of it. So I'm hoping to get through that in 20 minutes. So if I go fast, just tell me I'm going too fast. I have an undergraduate degree. I graduated in 1984 with a degree in special education, teaching children with emotional problems, which is probably, that's actually the first place I had some introduction to play therapy. At the time, in Fairfax County, right outside of Washington, D.C., we had self-contained classrooms and with our self-contained centers within, and I was in an elementary school, so we had a center within a regular education elementary school, and we had our own part-time school psychologist and a part-time social worker, and both of them did play therapy. But after I left, I didn't really have any other contact with play therapy again. So I've worked with kids with emotional difficulties, learning disabilities, middle school, elementary school, adolescents. I've been in residential programs, substance abuse programs. I did get my master's degree in social work in 1992, and with a specialization in child and family welfare. But through all of that, I've been in private practice. I've been worked at a community services board. Through all of that, aside from back in the mid-80s, it was very difficult to find any play therapy training or any contact. So I just kind of winged it for a while until I actually found someone who introduced me to the Association for Play Therapy. And then that's kind of what got me on my path where I am now. I'm just going to start out a little bit about explaining the power and the benefit of play, and then what play therapy is. In January 2007, the American Academy of Pediatrics wrote a paper about the benefit of play. And this is a quote from that journal. Play allows children to create and explore a world where they can master conquering their fears while practicing adult roles, sometimes in conjunction with other children or adult caregivers. As they master their world, play helps children develop new competencies that lead to enhanced confidence and resiliency that they need to face future challenges. Charles Schaefer, who's one of the bigwigs in the play therapy world, wrote a book called The Therapeutic Power of Play, and he had identified several therapeutic aspects of play therapy. The first one is that play helps to overcome resistance. It's natural, it's fun, it's what they do. So in order to establish that therapeutic alliance, play is the most effective way to do that with children. The other therapeutic benefit of play therapy is communication. Children often have difficulty expressing themselves verbally in order to communicate their feelings, their thoughts, and their needs. Grown-ups have a hard time doing that. Cognitively, children that are a much different place than adults are, so play offers them a natural means of being able to communicate. I don't know if you've, any of you have had small children. I know when my oldest son was little, or if you've ever been around a preschooler, whatever it is they're working out, you'll see them talking it through in their play, and you can kind of get an idea of what's going on. I know for my son, if it wasn't for his little friend Tigger, I wouldn't find out lots of things. The other thing is play, another aspect is it helps to build competence. Children enjoy playing, which means they'll spend a lot of time doing it, and playing allows the opportunity to enhance that self-esteem by satisfying their internal motivation to explore and master the environment. Creative thinking is another aspect. Play encourages creativity and flexibility without fear of negative consequences. They can try out different problem-solving options while. And for some kids, they will punch and punch and punch and punch and punch the bop bag. And as they're punching it, you can actually see them releasing some of that frustration in a way that's much more beneficial than yelling at somebody or kicking somebody or making some other decision that's not so helpful. Another aspect is abreaction. Charles Schaefer states that abreaction is the reliving of past stressful events and the emotions associated with them. In play, children can slowly mentally digest and assimilate traumatic experiences by reliving them with an appropriate release of affect. And the play therapist can help the child to re-experience the event in a different way and gain a sense of mastery in the environment. And I've done that with kids who have experienced sexual abuse or other traumas. And one of the ways that we play that out, I have a lot of sand figures, and I'll have them pick a sand figure for themselves and one for the perpetrator, and they can put it in the sandbox, and then I kind of coach them about, you know, if you could say whatever you wanted to so-and-so, what would you like to say? So they get to express those feelings of powerlessness, feeling hurt, feeling upset, and have an opportunity to work those out without having to actually face the perpetrator. Another therapeutic aspect of play is role-playing. Play allows children to try out different roles and behaviors to experience things from a different perspective and develop a sense of self as separate from others. And a lot of what I see in this is kids, you know, good guys and bad guys, and usually the kids will play out good guys first, and then they try out the bad guy role. I've had another child who, in his play, he was the cooking show host, and we were on TV, and he got to boss around people with his cooking show. So if they didn't treat him well, he would just not show them how to cook. So it gave him a sense of mastery when he was feeling some powerlessness in some areas of his life. Another aspect, therapeutic aspect of play, is fantasy and visualization. Imagination is enhanced through play. Charles Schaefer states, pretending gives a child power over the world. even when he does not have much control in life. This power and control is ego-boosting and augments an inner locus of control. The possibilities with imagination are endless with a child and what he can achieve and overcome. Metaphoric teaching is another therapeutic aspect of play. Play allows the opportunity to develop new myths or metaphors to address issues related to the unconscious content. The therapist can observe a child's fantasy play and gain understanding into the concerns of the child. And I see a lot of that when they do some of the sand tray as well. Attachment formation is another therapeutic aspect. Playful interactions with smiling and positive touch are natural and enjoyable ways for children to connect with adults. Relationship enhancement. Play is a pleasurable bond that's formed that makes each party more attractive to each other, which is, you know, you'll see that in parents playing with their kids and the power of that attachment by getting down there and doing something fun and pleasurable. Well, and it's the same thing in order to be able to build that therapeutic alliance with the kids as well, to give them a space where they feel free to be able to work through whatever it is they need to because they feel comfortable in that relationship. And there are a couple of play therapy theories for family therapy. And the idea is that you teach the parents how to engage in that relationship through playing with their kids to enhance that relationship. Positive emotion is another aspect of the power of play. Playing is fun, and children enjoy it, which can be uplifting for the child and relieve stress. Mastering developmental fears. Children can overcome their fears by repeatedly playing out threatening stimuli and finding ways to master and overcome their fears. One of the ways another way of using this therapeutically with the kids, one example would be nightmares. I've had kids who are afraid to go to sleep because they have really, really bad nightmares, so they won't sleep in their own bed. So we'll do silly things, like I'll have them draw a picture of the monster, and then we shred the monster in the paper shredder. Or I'll have them use the figures in the sand tray to best represent the nightmare. And then in the sand tray, I'll figure out where some of the resiliency is, or I'll have them to take themselves and replay the nightmare with them in control. I don't know if any of you have ever read the book by Mercer Mayer, There's a Nightmare in My Closet, so I'll read that to them. But basically the nightmare is scary and the boy's waiting for him. He's got his little pop gun, and suddenly the nightmare comes out of the closet. He looks like a big old monster. And so the little boy starts yelling at it, the monster. He's got his pop gun, and he's got his army helmet on, and the monster starts crying. So then in the end, the little boy has to comfort the monster, and he puts the monster in bed with him. So that's kind of the idea of being able to reconstruct the nightmare that gives the child some power in there, and they can minimize the fears. We do some other things, more cognitive behavioral things, to deal with some irrational fears, different games that we'll play. And then the last thing is gameplay. Playing games involves adhering to a predetermined set of rules, which provides opportunities for children to learn socialization skills. Rules involve playing fair, taking turns, and learning to lose and win graciously. Ego control and focus must override impulsive behaviors. We'll do a lot of this with some of our ADHD kids in the groups. That really helps them to learn the give and take, not being so impulsive, which gets them in trouble with their peers. Let's see. I'm not sure if any of you are familiar, other than Linda, about with the Association for Play Therapy. The Association for Play Therapy is a national organization that focuses on promoting the therapeutic benefits of play therapy, providing support to play therapists in the way of training. They also have a listserv for consulting via email. But they also have a credentialing process for registered play therapists, and I actually am a registered play therapy supervisor, so they provide some oversight with the certain criteria that are involved for that certification. And then every state has their own state chapter, so we have, I'm in Virginia, so we have the Virginia Association for Play Therapy. But the Association for Play Therapy defines play therapy as the systematic use of a theoretical model to establish an interpersonal process wherein trained play therapists use the therapeutic powers of play to help clients prevent or resolve psychosocial difficulties and achieve optimal growth and development. And I think they, for me, the way I think about play therapy is there's a what makes play therapy different than doing therapy and incorporating play is that it's theory-based. There are probably as many theories for play therapy as there are for adults. So it seems like for every adult therapy there's a play therapy version. Jungian therapy, there's a Jungian play therapy. There's cognitive behavioral play therapy. Carl Rogers developed the client-centered therapy. Well, there's a child-centered therapy that uses those principles, and probably Virginia Axline is one of the most well-known gurus for that. She wrote the book Dibs in Search of Self. So there's a psychosocial play therapy. They're all grounded in theory, and then the theory has a model that you use to implement the play therapy. And I use more of an integrated approach. I default to the child-centered play therapy, and the basic underlying principles of child-centered play therapy is that the therapist is the toy. The key for child-centered play therapy is the relationship between the child and the therapist. And the way I think about that is, and that's the healing power, and the child-centered, as with client-centered, believes that internally there's an intrinsic desire for wholeness. So if you provide the free and open space for the child to be able to work through that process and you're there walking alongside, they will naturally move towards healing and wholeness. For me, child-centered play therapy, the way I think about the healing aspect of it is think about my relationship with God. With God, I am completely acceptable. Even when I mess up, He still loves me unconditionally. The relationship is never separated unless I do the separating. He won't. And so when I think about the healing part of it, think about when you have that time with God and you're just in His presence and He just thinks you're so awesome and He just loves you so much and you just feel so good and just is awesome. That is the basic basic idea of child-centered. It's about the relationship. So we do set boundaries, but God sets boundaries for us also, and the reason we have the boundaries is to protect the relationship. So we do set boundaries, and it like, for instance, the rule is you can't shoot the therapist with the dart gun. And why would I set that boundary? Because if the child kept shooting me every time he came, at some point in time, I'm not going to want to play with him because I'm going to get tired of being shot at. So I need to set a therapeutic boundary. The rule is you can't shoot the therapist. So, that's the whole point of the rule. So my default is child-centered.